Welcome to the Work in Progress podcast. I'm your host, AJ Bove, and it's Friday, July 30th, 2021. How you doing? This is the Work in Progress podcast where I talk about the work I have in progress, and it's entrepreneurial, baby. I love having good customer relations with people, especially in the skateboarding world, because I am standing right now, live, on this Rev 32 Revolution Core 32 balance board, and it's like, it looks like a skateboard, and I want to learn how to skateboard, so I thought, you know what, let's get this balance board. I already got a balance board at my house, and it's like an old school one, and there's a little like center track in the middle that lines up with, you know, the wheel type of the pin, the cylinder that you stand on as you balance, right? But this one doesn't have any of that. This one you can actually do tricks and spins and things like that on, and I just got this one because I like the limitlessness of it. And I want to learn how to skateboard, and I want to learn maybe some kickflips and things like that. I watched a video of a guy last night learning how to do a kickflip in 7 hours. And the video wasn't 7 hours long, but he just put his work in. And that had me thinking, you know what? If this guy can do it, so can I. So I'm on it. I'm on this board, and I'm probably going to try standing on this board for the entirety of this podcast. That'd be 30 minutes long, and that would be pretty impressive for me. So anyway, what is going on? Ramp Armor. I feel like I'm finally getting in a groove with Ramp Armor. Not that I wasn't before, but I just feel better about myself at work. I don't know why. Like, I'm starting to think about my life in terms of the habits I develop and the ways I do things. And, you know, sometimes I like to do things the hard way. Sometimes I like to do things the easy way. But ultimately, I just need to do what can become my way. And I think I am getting there, getting the hang of it with a lot of the stuff. I mean, there's still a lot of things I need to learn. Right now, we have a product shortage with our most popular product, and there's a lead time of like 2 months. And I was talking to one of our customers today, and he was not happy. He was very unhappy, and he was really letting me have it. And Kurt was sitting right there on his last day. And shout out to Kurt. He did a great job this summer. I enjoyed living with him for the time that, you know, he was with me. He helped me kind of kickstart some good habits, I think. I hope, right? We'll see if they continue my exercising and eating right and things like that. But it was his last day today. So I was like, all right, let's call this customer of ours and talk to him, because I had some good things to talk to him about. We're looking to maybe do a partner up giveaway because we're sponsoring the Tampa Pro this fall. Well, Ramp Armor is, at least. And I thought, hey, let's get a good customer of ours in the loop, and we can partner up and do something. So I was excited about the call, and then I remembered the bad news that I had to tell him was that, you know, we're not gonna be able to get the product that you sell the most of. We're not gonna be able to get it to you for a long time. And I understand that is super frustrating, because, you know, I'm a business owner with Odorex. You know, it's a product. And there was a period of time where I was waiting a few days for my product when we launched. And I was very stressed. I remember being highly stressed during that time. I remember I was in Mentor, Ohio. That was like when I was first starting out at Eaton. And I was living over, yeah, on the other side of Ashtabula. And it was a little old, well, I don't even remember. It was like an extended stay hotel or whatever. And I just remember being real stressed about it and calling all these people and calling people in China, calling people in America to reach the people in China. No one was able to really get an answer before I was able to go to bed. So I went to bed stressed out and nervous. And now I'm making my customer feel like that. And I don't want to do that. But, you know, he was unhappy with me, understandably. But I kind of learned from it. He's like, you got to call. Dude, you got, as soon as you know, you get that email on Wednesday, you got to call today. Or you got to call that day and let everyone know. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I was thinking about it, like, yeah, he's right. Why wouldn't I do that? That's like good customer service. Hey, man, here's the situation. And I don't know. I just think it kind of goes back to the groove I'm getting myself in with work, and like how I'm communicating with people and how I communicate with people that I'm more familiar with. Like, I think it was a very, you know, the older generation, right? The people that are my mentors, they kind of look at our generation. You know, I'm 23, about to be 24 next month. They look at us like we can't pick up the phone and make a call. And I'm probably a prime example of that. And I feel like I always kind of knew that. I mean, I've done cold calling before. And, you know, I can make calls and I've, you know, I can talk in front of people, right? I do it on this podcast. I do it. I've done it on stand-up before, you know? So, like, I don't know. There's no, like, fear, but there's just, like, but now I kind of think I've found a groove of how to communicate with my potential clients, and I just feel like I'm getting the hang of it a little bit more and cresting that hill. And, you know, right now this month the sales haven't been great, I'm going to be honest, but I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic for the future. I'm looking to take a few trips over the next 4 months before the end of the year, and I'm thinking of going south a few times, thinking of going west once, thinking of going east a little bit, and then I'm looking to go a little bit west. So I'm going in all the directions except for north, evidently. And I want to learn how to skateboard. I really want to learn how to skateboard. Like I said, I got this balance board, and now I'm in. I'm in there. So I want to go and learn. We're sponsoring the Tampa Pro. Kurt and I, this week, we're watching a lot of videos about the skate park at Tampa. And, man, I wish I would have done that same research before I went to Tampa in the first place and met Brian the first time, because that place really is... it really is a mecca, and it's a really, really important piece of skateboarding history. A lot of really awesome stuff has happened there, and they got a lot of it on video. And I don't know, I'm just, now I kind of understand the gravity of what we're getting ourselves into, and I'm just much more appreciative of it. It makes me want to learn. It makes me want to get in that world with them, and it makes me just want to be like them, right? I'm trying to. You know, and like people have told me that they're like, you know, you don't need to know how to skateboard to like get respect in that industry. I'm like, yeah, I know, I get that, but this is a good excuse for me to learn how. You know what I mean? Like, I've always respected skateboarding and admired it, even just as a form of transportation. But this is a cool opportunity, I think, to learn it in a cool place. I mean, for those who don't know, like I did or did not a few weeks ago. And this is all, I would say, I would credit this curiosity to Kurt, by the way, because he was looking it up and writing some papers about it for his internship. And then I started looking up stuff about it and watching YouTube videos and stuff. And I don't know, I think I need to be more curious, and I'm getting more curious, and I'm getting more involved. And I think part of the reason why I wasn't is not because I didn't care, but because I just felt like I didn't have the time, or felt like I had to do other things, or had the other businesses or whatever. I think I maybe, in some ways, that is an element of spreading myself too thin. But I think, you know, things are all still afloat, and I think I'm getting better at it. So I'm getting involved, and I want to learn how to skateboard. And what better place to do that than the skate park of Tampa? And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I'm kind of speaking it into existence right now. But that's my plan. That is my plan. And I got to talk to Brian and my sales manager and all that, and figure it all out. But I'm excited, man, and woman. I'm excited for the future. It's cool, man. It feels good to, like, get in the hang of things, you know? Like, I was just talking to my mom on the way home, and I'm like, she's like, oh, so you're liking Erie. And I'm like, mom, I never disliked Erie. I'm just getting into a groove now. Like, I've been living here for a year, about, not even, end of September. So, coming up, like, 9 months, or 10 months. And I don't know, I just... Like with Kurt, you know, he helped me spur some good habits, I think, and eating right and figuring myself out, and the job's going well. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Let me be excited. I apologize, the podcast is coming out late. Last night I had a dinner meeting with a guy who, I fell off the balance board 9 minutes in. I'm not wearing shoes out here, people. I'm not wearing shoes. So it's a little bit more difficult. I was doing this at work today at my standing desk, and I almost fell on my face one time, but a guy who's in our office, who's over 350 pounds, was standing there and caught me. It was really, he didn't catch me. He didn't even move. I just kind of like used him to break my fall. But anyway, I had a meeting last night, a dinner with this guy, and he just talked for 2.5 hours. And I'm not exaggerating. Kurt and I were there, and so was Ron, and he talked for 2.5 hours. And we did not get to say maybe 30 words. And it was very off-putting. I got to be honest. It was very off-putting. I didn't like it. We were there to talk about business. He has a few different ideas. But I think he's kind of a little bit, like, one could classify him as, like, a kooky old inventor who's never actually invented anything. And I kind of felt bad, got to be honest. He was telling us a little bit of his story, and he was all over the place, and, you know, it was ultimately selfish. You know, the conversation, there was no engaging qualities of it. He didn't ask any questions. He just kept talking, and it was very manic. And I felt bad because, you know, I wanted to help, but I'm not sure how or, you know, what I could do, right? Because, you know, for instance, I'm helping, you know, my consulting client with her product, and, you know, she's doing a lot on her own because it's her company, and that's what I've told her. I'm like, listen, you don't need to listen to anything I'm telling you. I'm your consultant. Like, you can come to me for advice, but ultimately it's your company, and if you don't want to do something, then you don't have to. And, you know, but she's very self-sufficient, and today she emailed me some drawings of her product that were very impressive, and yeah, and I was just like, wow, this is great. This is a good sign. She's doing the work, and she's obviously enthusiastic about it, and it's, I don't have to do much, right? I'll answer a few questions when need be, and that's about it. But with the gentleman we were speaking with last night, I just felt bad, man. He was all over the place, and he was, you know, just, I don't know where I could help, because we didn't really get to talk about any of his ideas. And it just had me thinking, like, how I communicate sometimes, because I had another similar conversation this morning with a person when I went into their office, and I asked them, I was like, hey, we're trying to, you know, make a video to, you know, to show this premise, and can I get an address for this thing to happen, for us to send something somewhere? And he's like, oh, no, don't do that. Why would you, don't do that? Then no one wants to, it would be easier to get this guy who lives in another state involved. We should send it to him. He should do the thing that we want to do here, and then he can, you know, send us the numbers, and we'll pay him for it, but then he'll send it to us, and then we'll do the testing, and it was just very convoluted, and that's where it started. And then it progressed to, you hear those birds? I'm sorry, I'm just out here trying to meditate, talking to you folks on a balance board. Went down again, 12.5 minutes. It's total time here, so from 9 to 12.5, 2.5, my splits are going down. Anyway, it progressed from, hey, can I get an address, to we should have this person do it, and a very convoluted way to have this person do it. And then what we ought to do is change the product and find out what our customers want, and we should change it, and just a lot of things that weren't really right, and there was no questions, and it was just, it turned to 15 minutes of just listening. And it got to the point where I was like acting like I was taking down notes, but I was just scribbling. I was just scribbling. You know, last night when I was talking to the guy or listening, there were times where I just went in and out of focus, and I couldn't help it. You know, it was just like someone's droning on, and I want to listen, but it's just tough when there's just no, like, you know, when you listen to a conversation and you're in a conversation, there's turns to be speaking, right? And obviously some people just listen, you know, so they know when to speak. And then, you know, other people listen to understand, like, there's that quote, but also, like, you still have to listen so you know when to contribute to the conversation. And if you just sit back and think, well, I'm never going to contribute to this conversation, then I just turn off my listening, because, well, why do I need it if I'm not going to be quizzed on the conversation? You know what I mean? I'm not going to be quizzed on the subject, right, in terms of being able to adequately provide insight. So all this to say, it had me reflecting on how I communicate. And I got to be honest, in my first meeting with my consulting client, I talked a lot, and I didn't ask many questions. And you know, Ron was sitting there, because I wanted him to sit there and listen in, and I wanted to get his thoughts on it. And he's like, you know, you didn't really, he was good, he didn't say anything dumb, but you didn't really engage. Like, you didn't ask many questions. And then it had me thinking about how he speaks. And he is very engaging. Even if he says something that's a statement, you know, affirmative statement, he'll sometimes phrase it as a question, you know? Like, wouldn't it be, you know, he paints a rosy picture. I've talked about that before. He shows you the sunset. And admittedly, I was, I kind of talked a lot in that meeting because my computer was dying and I was just trying to get through my notes. And I was still at work, so I didn't want to you know, I wanted to keep it under an hour because I just had a lot to get through. So I think in the future, I'm not gonna drone on and on like that. I'm gonna be there more for questions. But you know, I don't know. It just really, because like both those conversations, the one that I had last night and the one that I had this morning, they were both off-putting. I gotta be honest, and I wasn't super thrilled leaving the conversation. And I just don't want to make people feel like that. And it's just not super productive either. Like, that's not how, you know, it's like this two-way conversation, half the road was blocked. And there was no construction crew letting people through. There was no slow stop sign turner. You know what I mean? Like, how they have that, how they just stand there and flip the sign around. But there was none of that. So, I don't know. That just had me reflecting on how I communicate and how other people communicate and how to just communicate effectively. Ramp armor, I already talked about a little bit. Odorex, we made some good progress, I guess. We had a nice meeting this week, and it's good. You know, we were reaching out to some people that are interested in potentially investing, and I mean, that's just where we're at right now. Things are super not turbulent because we're not even really moving much product, to be honest, because we don't really have much of a sales mechanism because some people on our team are going on to bigger and better things, which, you know, I'm good. I'm happy for them. I'm not going to say that that's bad. You know, I get it. They're going to go where people can pay them, and we're just a small startup still. Young startup. We haven't really even launched, and, you know, it's not even been a year. But, you know, we're still just, you know, still bootstrapping it, I suppose. Although we did get a nice amount of money, a nice profit, biggest profit we've ever earned on anything. It was unrelated business. But, you know, so we weren't selling gloves, but it's money to keep us going, right? We're in the business of making money. And what was I saying? Yeah, so we were talking to some investors. We got some really good feedback. We're hearing back from some athletes, talking to different agencies. We're just trying to stir up stuff. We're just trying to get people involved. And this honestly feels like the most that people have been involved ever. Outside people, like talking with people, meetings, things like that. And for me, it's starting to feel a lot more normal and regular and expected, and I'm happy about that. I'm so happy about that because it just, like, I've compared it before, how it feels doing business in conversations with Ron when we're pitching things versus Odorex, and you know, sometimes with Odorex it feels like an uphill I keep smashing this board around. It feels like an uphill battle sometimes, or like, hey, this is our big chance here, can't mess this up. But in reality, well, I don't know what in reality, but now I'm just starting to feel like, hey, this is just a normal thing we do. Like, I had a call with a guy, an investor. I messaged him on LinkedIn. This is a good story. I like what happened here. I like how I handled this. I'm going to pat myself on the back for this one. So, you know, Eric on our team, he sent us a big list of companies to reach out to for investment. And the one I reached out to, I went to their submit page, like, to contact them. And there was no submit button. I typed it all out, and then there was no send. So I'm like, well, what the heck? So I go on their board of advisors page or their team members page, and I just message them all on LinkedIn. And my subject line on the LinkedIn message was like, you know, it was like, hey, your contact page isn't working. I tried to submit a link, but it wouldn't hit submit, and I just And I think that kind of caught someone's attention because I got a message back and we played a little bit of phone tag over the weekend, but ultimately I had a phone call with them and it was reeled down to business. It was a real quick 5-minute, I think it was like 4.5 minutes, this call, maybe 6.5. We'll call it 5. And, you know, we were just dealing numbers, kind of. He just asked me, he's like, all right, well, how much you need? And I'm like, all right, this is how much we need. He's like, all right, well, what percentage is that worth? I'm like, this much. And he's like, all right, what's your cap? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know what cap meant in that situation. He's like, that's all right. Not a lot of people know that. You know, you might not know that if you're still early on. And so there's some learning to be had. But I felt comfortable. I felt really comfortable and I felt confident. And I was thinking about it because, remember, I was talking last week about how Ron sells and is kind of like, you know what? Like, he talks like, hey, you're going to want to be rocking with us. Like, it's pretty cool what we got going on here. And yeah, I don't know, it just felt good because I remember when we were talking to some people and we were just like so wide-eyed and like, oh, we can't mess this up. Like, what does he mean? Like, it just felt like a like it's like the difference between like memorizing information for a test and knowing the information for a test. And it just feels a lot better to know because you're just like, you know what, this is what it is. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. This is where we're at. This is how we got here. This is all very reasonable to me. If you don't think it's reasonable, then I don't know what you're thinking. So, you know, it just felt, you know, we're more honest with ourselves and we're comfortable with ourselves and we're getting better. So that's what's going on with that. What's going on with TCR and ATH, also known as Town Crier Radio, our internet radio startup, and also our entrepreneurial educational program, you know, is interesting. Both of these things were slated to launch around the same time, even though they don't really have anything to do with each other. And I had mentioned this before. I was like, it's interesting to see what the speed of the two organizations is going to be, because it's, you know, two different groups of individuals. And, you know, it's just essentially two different teams. So it's not reasonable to think that they're going to be going at the same speed. You know, how often are you going to meet? How soon are things going to get done? How many engines do you have on the team? I feel like with Town Crier Radio, I'm an engine for sure. And, you know, not that the other folks aren't engines, but they're more the visionaries. Whereas Athena, I feel like we have, you know, one main visionary and two engines. And so far, the one with the two engines is going a little bit faster. So we, with that said, we do have a sales pitch on the 20th of August, which I'm excited about, because that'll be pretty big. Gotta be honest, that'll be big for us. You know, we're going to see what we can do in terms of bringing our program to a school. And that's interesting because that's not initially who we thought it was going to be for. And I don't know how it's going to go because it'll be new to me. And I'll see a new type of sales technique because the guy that we're working with, Jay, that's his forte, along with radio. And I'm building the slide deck, right? I'm the engine building that legwork. And I still need to do some more progress on that, but that is not until the 20th, and it's the end of the month now, and that's only a few weeks away, so I should be a little bit further ahead than I am, but if the date keeps getting pushed back, I'm just like, I'll push it back a sec. So I'm procrastinating there, but with Athena, we had a really good conversation with some school board, well, not school board, but school administrators, about our program and, you know, brainstorming it and really working together. And again, even thinking back to that conversation, I was trying to lead it. And I think what happens is, for me, and I don't know if this is necessarily true for the other folks that I saw talking a lot, but for me, I think sometimes I'll get a little bit nervous in a situation and then I'll just keep talking. You know, if I'm asking a question that doesn't really... For me, it always happens, like, if I'm leading a meeting and I kind of just start thinking out loud, I just kind of go because there's no question, right? Like, it's tough on a Zoom call to brainstorm all the time because, you know, when do you jump in? When do you look? Like, there's a lot of nonverbals that, you know, nonverbal cues of when to speak during an in-person meeting. And our meeting was on Zoom, and I was the only person with my camera on, and... I don't know, it kind of made it tough to tell when people wanted to jump in or had something on the tip of their tongue or had a thought jumping in. So, you know, all I hear is silence. And I just keep talking because I don't want there to be silence, right? Because, well, I don't want them to, you know, right? Silence is just bad, right? I mean, it's not really bad if you can get comfortable with silence. I mean, that's a thing that I know a lot of comedians, you know, that's like the mark of a good comedian or at least a comfortable person on stage is if there's a lot of... If they can hold a silence, you know, command the room, not feel uncomfortable, they lead the conversation. They are the one being silent. But in a collaborative brainstorming, I don't think you want it to be silent. And so I don't know. I think, well, that's an excuse, but I just think that that's kind of what I was thinking. But it was overwhelmingly positive overall, and we're moving the needle with it. And Ron was a little bit unhappy with where things were at in terms of speed of development, and I was like, yeah, and I get you. You know, I've been monitoring the speeds as well, and, you know, because, like, meetings get pushed up, meetings happen, meetings get pushed back, so things just happen at different speeds, and you know, that kind of plays in with a certain expectation that you would have. But I think for me now, like, he was kind of unhappy with the speed at which things were going. Like I said, I noted and noticed that the speeds were what they were, the speed of development. But I don't think I felt as unhappy about it, because I think from my position as a young, you know, young strapping 23-year-old, soon to be 24, for me, I'm like, you know, this is all cool. Like, I don't know how long this is going to take, but it's cool with me. And I want it to happen fast, right? But I just believe that it's going to happen really soon at some point. And I always feel like it's, like, right around the corner. And I can see the revenue that's kind of starting to accumulate in the pipeline. And we're in those early stages, especially for Athena, where, you know, once we develop our program, it'll just be kind of rinse and repeat. So I'm not as impatient with it. And not that Ron is impatient. He's one of the most patient people I know. But it was just interesting. And I can't remember exactly where I was going with that thought, because I brought up Ron and his thoughts about it. But I'm happy, man. I'm happy where things are at. Tomorrow, I'm driving to Brockport, New York. Oi! Sorry, almost fell. Almost smashed my head off the utilities out here. But anyway, I'm driving to Brockport, New York. I'm going to go watch a wheelchair lacrosse game. And I'm excited. I've never been to a wheelchair lacrosse game. I've only been to just like able-bodied college and high school lacrosse games. And I'm going to go meet Adam Page, who is an Odorex athlete, and so are all of his teammates. And he is a former U.S. Paralympian ice hockey player, sled hockey player. And he's a 3-time gold medalist, and he's on our team for Odorex. And we gave him some gloves, and he likes them. And I'm just all about it. I'm like, what can we do to help you? So I'm going up there to see the game and support and hopefully meet some other people that would like to get some Odorex gloves. I only have 2 business cards and 2 gloves on me, so that's not going to be great. but it'll be what it is. It'll be what it is. So I'm excited to see that. That'll be new. And that's like, that's a sales thing right there, right? Maybe I'll take them out to dinner afterwards or something, get to know them, and I'm excited to do that. And like I said, I'm going to do that also more with Ramp Armor coming up. And last weekend, I kind of did that too. Dude, I drive so much. And I'm not saying that bad. Like, I don't mind driving. I like the alone time. But last weekend, I drove 6 hours and 20 minutes for round trip for what was ended up being like a total of an hour and a half. An hour and a half, about. Maybe 2 hours. Either way, the times obviously were not, you know, that you say, oh, is it worth it? Well, from a time standpoint, no. But how my time was spent, maybe. No, I'm kidding. It was, I went to a group called Roundtable 12, and it's just a group of entrepreneurs, and I'd never seen anything like it. It was just a group of entrepreneurs, and when I say I haven't seen anything like it, I don't mean like it's some revolutionary idea, a group of people sitting at a conference table, you know, talking about their businesses, may or may not be hungover. That's not a revolutionary concept, but I've never been a part of anything like that. And it was cool to be there and speak and engage with people. And I was happy about that. And I guess they liked me, which is always a good sign. And it was nice because it was kind of like a, hey, go tell these people what you've been working on the last 10 months. And it was good to tell them. And it kind of made me sit back and realize, like, hey, things have been going well. So be happy. Keep doing what you're doing. And I don't know, you know, I was talking to Kurt about it, because he's going back to school now, and, you know, he's kind of in that transitioning period where, you know, he's going to be graduating soon, and he's just going to be out, you know, and I always thought, like, our entire lives were kind of just trained to go from, you know, you always see the other side of the river, right? You go from first grade to second grade, sixth grade to seventh grade, you know, even from middle school to high school, and then high school to college, you see, right? And maybe if you didn't go to college, you know, see from high school to the next job or whatever. But what, you know, when you get out of college, or maybe even when you get out of high school, if you don't go to college, you're just in an open area. You're just in an open expanse. And not only do you not see the other side of the water, you don't see where you got in the water. And now you're just wet. And it can be overwhelming. And it was overwhelming for me. I mean, I graduated in 2019. I had a job that I did not like at all for a year. And now I got this job, and now I finally feel like I'm kind of really getting in the groove. And I haven't even, you know, started on a fitness plan and a real eating plan and this and that. Like, I'm just getting the hang of it. And it takes time. It took me, like, you know, I'm 23 now, so, like, almost 2 years, over 2 years, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying to learn patience. I don't know. Maybe this episode was so deep and so zen because I was on this board the whole time. You guys heard when I was clicking it on the ground. So if you didn't, though, if you didn't hear it, then, I was up. I wasn't chilling. So thank you for listening. I apologize for being late, but I thank you for listening. And I have a good one. You have a good one, too. Thanks, and I'll see you next time. Bye.